Happy Daisy Bates Day, everyone. All right, so I want you to imagine your first day of school. Now imagine being insulted, humiliated, having things thrown at you, and being greeted by an angry mob as you make your way towards your school. Imagine then not being able to enter the school because the National Guard prevented you from even entering and sends you home.
What if you, with purpose and mindfulness, decided to surround yourself with positivity? What if you walked away from negative energy? What if you were constantly the positive energy in every room you walked into until it became so contagious that you positively impacted everyone around you? How would that impact your life? You're listening to Compassionate Mindfulness with Xenia, the podcast that will inspire you to use your story to change the world.
Thanks for tuning in to Compassionate Mindfulness with Xenia. This is your host, Tanya Munuma, and I'm so grateful to have you here with me today. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. If you get any value at all out of this content, also go ahead and share it with a friend or two, which will allow for more people to join the conversation, and I would really appreciate that. Chances are that if you're listening to this podcast, you want to commit to this lifelong journey and continually grow and become the best version of yourself. I am dedicated to helping people change their narrative in order to change their life. And as you may know, my mission is to be a part of the biggest rise in human transformation and consciousness our world has ever seen. And I want you to be a part of that too. Happy Daisy Bates Day, everyone. All right, so I want you to imagine your first day of school. Now imagine being insulted, humiliated, having things thrown at you, and being greeted by an angry mob as you make your way towards your school. Imagine then not being able to enter the school because the National Guard prevented you from even entering and sends you home. That was the case for 9 African American students who arrived at Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas on September 4th, 1957. Today, I want us to remember one of the adults behind the movement that sent 9 children into that Arkansas high school that day. Daisy Bates took the reins and organized the Little Rock 9. Born Daisy Lee Gadsden on November 11, 1914, Daisy's childhood trauma is most likely what led her to her passion for seeking out justice. Trigger warning. Now, this next part has sexual assault and violence. When she was 3 years old, 3 white men came to her door and told her mom that her husband, so Daisy's dad, had been hurt and she needed to come attend to him. Once they got her away from the house, they sexually abused her, then killed her. Daisy's dad feared that the men would then come for him and left. He left Daisy in the care of his friends, Orly and Susie Smith. They became Daisy's foster parents and they raised her like their own. When Daisy was 8, she found out what had happened to her mother, and it changed her. This just got me thinking about how a child her age, and it's not that hard for me to imagine because my daughter is 7, how hard it must have been to process all of that. On top of processing that, she found out that the man hadn't even been prosecuted. Now, Daisy's foster dad, Orly, noticed that her demeanor had changed. She now had this bottled-up hatred inside of her. She was angry. So he told her, "Hate can destroy you, Daisy. If you hate, make it count for something. Try to do something about it, or your hate won't spell a thing." And that is just what she needed to send her on her path that would ultimately shape the desegregation laws in America. It would end up determining how she was going to approach racism and segregation moving forward. At the age of 15, she met who would eventually become her future husband, Lucius Christopher Bates, or LC for short. LC was an insurance agent and a journalist, and together they traveled the South before they settled in Little Rock, Arkansas, and married when Daisy was 27. Together, they founded the Arkansas State Press, a weekly newspaper. This was an opportunity to give Black people a voice. It was published statewide and covered the civil rights movement. That was not at all common for any newspaper, and because of their bold coverage of the injustices that were going on, many of the white business owners stopped purchasing ad spaces. And of course, if you don't have any ads selling for a paper, you don't get revenue to keep the paper running. But that didn't stop them from running the paper. Everything Daisy was doing got her noticed, and in 1952, she was selected to become president of the NAACP's Arkansas chapter. 2 years later, after the Brown versus the Board of Education case, the United States had a huge ruling that declared that school segregation was unconstitutional. Now, joining the Brown versus the Board of Education case as key rulings on the U.S. civil rights timeline is Plessy versus Ferguson. In 1896, this Supreme Court ruling stated that public facilities could be legally segregated as long as the facilities for Black people and white people were equal. And as a result, there were laws in place that made it possible for Black children to be kept from going to the same schools as white children, from using the same buses or public transport, water fountains, restrooms, and the list went on and on. So when you see those pictures that have colored only on them, that's where that came from. This law was also referred to as the Jim Crow law and lasted 6 decades. All this to say that any change after that would be challenging, to say the least. And in the 1950s, the NAACP, which for those of you who may not have heard what that stands for, it's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. The NAACP was in full force. So in 1954, there was a unanimous vote against school segregation. However, as you can imagine, the integration was not an easy one. Remember, the Jim Crow law was around for 60 years before this. When the Supreme Court ruled against segregation, there was no plan as to how this would be done, not even a date by which it would be implemented by. So in 1955, the Supreme Court came back and basically said that they did what they had to do. They said that segregation was unconstitutional. And so now the technicalities of it all will have to go to the lower federal courts. So they will have to decide what they want to do with the whole situation. So that wasn't much help. The state of Arkansas came up with the Blossom Plan. And that plan was to slowly integrate. And the first schools to integrate would be the high schools. And so, as you may have guessed, Little Rock Central High School was the cornerstone of what would become one of the most important civil rights movements in the U.S. Daisy knew that the government was stalling, and this is where my initial account of how 9 students were prevented from entering their school that September 4th, 1957 day continues. So Daisy, along with other members of the NAACP, gathered 9 students who would come to be known as the Little Rock 9. These students were carefully chosen, and in fact, I quote, "Daisy Bates and others from the Arkansas NAACP carefully vetted the group of students and determined they all possessed the strength and determination to face the resistance they would encounter. In the weeks prior to the start of the new school year, the students participated in intensive counseling sessions, guiding them on what to expect once classes began and how to respond to anticipated hostile situations, end quote. This was not an easy road for them. In fact, Arkansas's governor, though he initially said there would be integration, didn't really mean that. On September 2nd, 1957, the governor announced that he would call in the Arkansas's National Guard to prevent the African American students' entry to Central High, claiming this action was for the students' own protection. Can you imagine wanting to go to school and having the National Guard stop you? I mean, I can't even fathom the situation and how they must have felt with pretty much the army being in front of them, preventing them from going into the school. It isn't until September 25th when President Eisenhower sent 1,200 members of the U.S. Army to escort the children that the Little Rock Nine finally attended their first full day of class. The road was not easy. One of the students, Gloria Ray, was pushed down a flight of stairs. Melba Patillo was beaten and had acid thrown in her face. They were all banned from any extracurricular activities. A mother was fired when she refused to remove her child from the school. And the list just goes on and on. All the while, Daisy and her husband were covering all of this in their newspaper in order to shed light on the situation. In fact, one of the most enduring images from this day came from a photo that was taken while Elizabeth Eckert was stoically in her black shades approaching the school all alone. She would have been with the other students, but didn't have a phone, so she didn't know that they were arriving together. They were carpooling. I'll put a picture up on Instagram for you to see, so check out Tanya_Manuma if you haven't seen that picture of her yet. She can recall looking for a gentle face to land on as she was being yelled at by the hostile crowd. She says she landed on the face of a woman who looked like she was smiling, and so she wanted to focus on that face. However, when she turned back, that same woman spat on her. Daisy never let any of it deter her from her mission. She led those kids and was there for them like a mother looking after her own children. She was there to advocate for them, to be a shoulder to lean on, and was absolutely critical in the unfolding of this historic event. It wasn't easy. One day she had a rock thrown at her window that said, "A rock this time, next time, dynamite." I mean, imagine being so devoted to what you have decided is your life work that even threats such as that one wouldn't even stop you. She was the only woman to give a speech on that 1963 march on Washington where Dr. Martin Luther King gave that infamous speech. She continued her activism until the day she passed on November 4th, 1999, at the age of 84. The state of Arkansas named the third Monday of every February Daisy Gadsden Bates Day. So again, happy Daisy Bates Day! And as always, find out what will contribute to your mental, spiritual, physical healing and take little steps to get there. Continue to live with mindfulness and compassion and never stop learning and growing. Many blessings to you. As always, I thank you for tuning in. These episodes are meant to be of massive value to you, and so I hope you got something out of it. And if you did, all I ask in return is for you to give it a little thumbs up, give it some love in the reviews, share with one or two friends whom you know will benefit from hearing from this content, check out the links in the description, continue to lead with empathy, and I'll catch you on the next episode. Many blessings.